This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
What's up, all of our liberty-loving friends? We're back. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network. This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is a cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Rising fees have made Bitcoin useless for purchases, but Dash continues to have fees less than 1 cent per transaction and has implemented some really cool features to ensure it's undefeated as the most useful cryptocurrency in the marketplace. From a technical standpoint, Dash transactions are irreversible, and its network is protected from 51% of tax by their Chainlocks technology. There's no need to wait for a confirmation before considering the Dash transaction complete, so it's great for merchants. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And a big thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash.org. Well, we got some stuff to talk about and not a whole lot of time to talk about the stuff. And so, Charles...
Stuff talk.
I'll do this first one. You can do the next one. This is a cool... It's not White Pill Wednesday. This is kind of a white pill, unless you live in Oregon. And that's not good, specifically Portland. Listen, policies have consequences. Economics has consequences. And so this first story goes out to the people in Portland, Oregon, because Oregon lost $1 billion of income between 2020 and 2021.
And by income, they mean theft.
Yeah. As a result of residents fleeing the state amid surging crime, homelessness, and safety concerns. Now, the $1 billion, I think, is the total of the income of the people that left, not the tax revenue that they would have received from those people. A data analysis conducted by Oregon Live showed that 14,257 tax filers and their dependents left Multnomah County during the first year of the pandemic in 2020 and took a record $1 billion of income with them. The data showed that higher earners were more likely to leave since their jobs could be done remotely during coronavirus shutdowns, and the average income of people leaving was 14% higher than the people who left the year before. Before 2020, Portland had experienced 15 consecutive years of growth.
Mm-mm-mm.
In addition, the homelessness crisis in Portland has continued to spiral out of control, and several Portland business owners have sounded the alarm about the issue and the crime associated with it. Here's a quote from a business owner. Small businesses and large cannot sustain doing business in our city's current state. We have no protection or recourse against the criminal behavior that goes unpunished.
Our city is in peril.
Mm.
Says Catherine Seeley.
Peril. Good. I don't like peril. Not good.
Mm-mm.
Mayor Ted Wheeler's office reported a 50% increase in homelessness from 2019 to 2022. The flood of residents leaving Portland appears to have continued since the pandemic, as Portland lost 8,308 people from July 2021 to 2022. Since the data shows Portland lost the sixth most residents in the country over the past year.
Mm. People voting with them feet, man.
Is this the chickens coming home to the rooster?
Yeah, I think so.
Why? I mean, why do you think this is? I thought if you lived in Portland, you're supposed to be down with all this stuff that's going on.
I think this is reaping what you've sown.
Are they not compassionate enough? They're just weeding out all the non-compassionate people. This is a good thing, actually.
Well, obviously these are rich white supremacists.
Yes.
That have...
somehow found themselves in Oregon.
Yeah, and then left for, you know,
mm-hmm.
for redder skies.
And as Costco just said in the live group, just don't bring your voting patterns with you. That's something that in Tennessee we worry about as well, because as Charlie has said before, like all of your neighbors are from California. And you want people to leave, that's great, to leave California, but you want them to remember why they left California, why it was that they thought that Tennessee would be a better place for them to live, why they didn't want to stay in the state that they're coming from. And they need to connect the dots between the politics and the governance in those areas and not bring that with them when they come over. So I hope that they do that. But this is what happens, y'all. I don't know if the people in Portland, if the people running the government are going to notice this and try to change some things. But if they don't, it's not going to be good. The city's going to collapse. So what are you looking up right now?
I was looking up what their income, their state income tax rate is. I'm trying to find, let's just say it's 5%.
Do they have state income taxes?
I think they do. I thought they weren't
the ones that didn't, but maybe not. I'm not sure.
Seems 6%, but I'm not finding anything. There's an estimated tax. I don't understand. Anyway, let's say that they...
Emmy says we do have state income tax, no sales tax, though.
Okay. So let's say it's around... Let's just say for round numbers, because I don't really know, it's like 5%.
Mm-hmm.
They lost $1 billion, so that's $50 million.
Is that what that comes out to?
5% of a billion?
Yeah.
$50 million.
They could have saved a lot of homeless people with that money.
50 million bones.
Mm-hmm.
Have done, gone and buried somewhere else.
They could have redistributed that. Could have done, this is their reparations plan is falling apart. Okay, next thing on the list. This one's near and
no
dear.
No relation whatsoever, right?
No, it's kind of not relation. You'll see why we're talking about this. There is a video, but if you'll give everyone the synopsis of the story real quick. Girls.
Mm. This good. Is from CNBC. UAW, which is a union, they seek double-digit pay hikes in Detroit 3 auto contract talks.
Detroit 3 are like Ford, yeah. GM, and who's the other one? Chrysler? Stellantis owns Chrysler now.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. The UAW president, Sean Fain, said on Tuesday the union was seeking ambitious benefit increases in contract talks with the Detroit 3 automakers, including double-digit pay raises and defined benefit pensions for all workers. UAW presented its economic demands to Chrysler parent Stellantis on Tuesday and will make presentations to General Motors and Ford Thursday ahead of the September 14th expiration of the current 4-year contract. They include proposing to make all temporary workers at the U.S. automakers permanent, placing new strict limits on the use of temporary workers and increasing paid time off. Bain also wants increase in pension benefits for current retirees and to ensure all workers get defined benefit pensions. Bain said the CEOs of the Detroit 3 saw their pay raise by 40% on average over the last 4 years. He singled out GM CEO Mary Barra, which, by the way, she and GM are leading the way, according to the White House, in EVs.
They are.
No? They received $29 million of compensation. Mostly in stock.
No.
And said it would take an entry-level worker at GM Joint Venture Battery Plant 16 years to earn as much as she made in 1 week. Bain listed numerous demands, including... What a job.
What?
Be the president of a union.
Mm-hmm.
Sit around... And then send off a list of demands to people who are doing the work.
I know.
What a job.
It's awesome.
Including restoring retiree health care benefits and cost of living adjustments. He also said the UAW was proposing to have the right to strike over plant closures and to eliminate the 2-tier wage system under which new hires earn 25% or more less than veteran employees.
They don't want new workers to earn less than veteran workers. That's going to go over really well for everyone. I bet everyone's super happy about that.
The veteran workers love that.
Yeah. So why did I care so much about this boring story? Well, Charlie, as you know, we have been talking about CEO pay for a long time. And it's one of those annoying things that a lot of people don't really pick apart because it's typical for people on both the right and the left to hate people who are rich and to hate CEOs of corporations and to hate corporations in general. Even a lot of libertarians.
The ones who give you a job, by the way.
Yeah. And so we've been one of the podcasts or media people out there talking about this.
We sound like shills, you know?
I know.
And it's like, just because we stand on principle.
Here's why it's important. This this BS, and by BS I mean Bernie Sanders' argument about CEO pay, has made it all the way to the president of the UAW, and is they are using the CEO pay argument that their pay has gone up by 40% to justify what equates to a 46% raise for all employees at the Detroit Big Three. And the problem is the math don't add up on that. It really doesn't add up. You consider the fact that, what was the lady's name? Mary Barra, who received $29 million in compensation. I went ahead and did the math for you and worked that out. Let's say that she made nothing and you just gave that to the GM employees instead. We're using the increase in her compensation as justification for raising all of their wages, right? Mm-hmm. So let's just not pay her anything instead. And then every worker that works for GM would get 10 cents an hour off of what she makes. That's it.
Are you sure?
It's about $300 a year.
10 cents an hour?
Yeah, something like that.
For 98,000 employees in the U.S.?
Well, I did all their workers.
157,000?
Yeah. That's what that would come out to. Mm. Maybe it's 15 cents an hour. Maybe it's 20. It's not a 46% pay raise. I can tell you that much. But they're using this argument of someone making $29 million to justify what's going to equal billions of dollars in increased pay for the employees at GM and the other automakers as well. And then the problem is once you go further down into the rabbit hole here, you find out that she made $29 million in 2021. But of course, as you said earlier, most of it was not from her salary. Her salary is $2.1 million. It was $2 million the year before that, meaning she got a 5% pay raise. The rest of it came from stock compensation. Most of that was in options.
And see, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a big risk that they're taking, right? Then they would rather take the risk because they believe in themselves and they believe that they're going to hit these goals and therefore get compensated for it. What you don't hear about are the CEOs that get these options, usually for startups, that end up going kaput. And they never get to reap any benefits of their total compensation. It happens all the time. You just don't hear about it. You only hear about the ones who end up getting to reap some of the benefits of their total compensation package.
Now, one of the things that they talked about, the union rep talked about also, was that there was actually a pay decrease or compensation for employees that went down in 2021. What's the reason for that? They were shut down a lot in 2021. There were supply chain disruptions, and they went to a lot of temporary workers because they didn't need full-time people because they weren't able to produce all the cars because there weren't any chips to make the cars. And so they
not like potato chips.
Not potato chips.
Yeah, Taiwan chips.
Taiwan semiconductor chips for these cars. And so they didn't pay out as much. Now, she'll probably hit the performance goals, I would assume. But what they do when they give the stocks and options away is they count that as if the person sold them already, when in fact it is tied to performance. So that is, let's see, GM said 90% of Barra's and other executives' compensation is at risk, meaning it depends on GM's financial performance and meeting other goals and objectives. But then we take that money that they technically could get paid if it goes well, and we use that to justify threatening a strike over the company and saying that we should raise everyone's pay by 40% because their pay went up by 40% when it's a fake number.
And reduce the work week by 8 hours.
Yeah, that too.
You think Mara, Mary Barra, you think she only works 32 hours a week?
No, she probably works way more than that. I would say. Now, she's not on the factory floor or anything, but she's doing work too. I think this is just a hatred for women, honestly. I think that's all this is.
Yeah.
It's just all now these people hate women.
Women have become CEOs. Now they want to complain about CEOs.
Now they're mad that she's getting paid more than they are.
Mm-hmm.
And
I agree. I think the feminists should be outraged by this. You know?
So this is where it gets really annoying. This is where the rhetoric and the math don't line up. This is why we talk about the situation so much. And why is it important to you? Because what do you think is going to happen to the price of vehicles when everyone there gets a pay raise? Either they go on strike and they don't make the vehicles, which would be really bad for the economy and really bad for the price of automobiles, or they get pay raises, which is going to be bad for the price of automobiles. I'm in favor of people getting pay raises, but I want it to be because it's what they earned, and you'd rather pay them more than have them walk out the door because no one else is going to replace them. So let's move on to another completely unrelated topic, and this trucking firm, Yellow. Remember those trucks? The yellow on the side of them?
Oh, yeah.
Ever seen those before?
The yellow?
3 years after receiving a $700 million pandemic-era lifeline from the government, the struggling freight trucking company Yellow is filing for bankruptcy. After months-long negotiations between Yellow's management and the Teamsters Union broke down, the company shut its operations last month and said on Sunday that it was seeking bankruptcy protection so it can wind down its business. The downfall of the 99-year-old company will lead to the loss of about 30,000 jobs and could have ripple effects across the nation's supply chains. It also underscores the risks associated with government bailouts that are awarded during moments of economic panic. Okay, New York Times. I'm like, wow. Look at the New York Times talking about how the government's making bad decisions. Oh, it was Trump. Okay. Yeah. There we go. Now we found out why they can print this. Yellow received a $700 million loan during the summer of 2020 as the pandemic was paralyzing the U.S. economy. The loan was awarded as part of the $2.2 trillion CARES Act, and Yellow received it on the grounds that its business was critical to national security because it ships supplies to military bases. Now, this is not one of those loans that they just got the write-off, by the way. They have to pay this back. And here's the other interesting part. We'll talk about it. The fate of the loan is not yet clear. The federal government assumed a 30% equity stake in Yellow.
I wonder if you talked about that.
So, how they get the loan? The federal government assumed a 30% equity stake in Yellow, who is now filing for bankruptcy, in exchange for the loan. It could end up assuming or trying to sell off much of the company's fleet of trucks and terminals. Yellow is the third largest small freight trucking company and a part of the industry known as less-than-truckload shipping. The industry has been under pressure over the last year from rising interest rates and higher fuel costs, which customers have been unwilling to accept. So they haven't been able to pass on their own corporate greed to their customers, I guess, meaning they weren't able to raise their prices as much as their costs were going up. So there was someone else being corporately greedy above them, just seeing even more higher level corporate greed. Those forces collided with an ugly labor fight this year between Yellow and the Teamsters Union over wages and other benefits. Those talks collapsed last month, and union officials soon after warned workers that the company was shutting down. Well, I bet those workers are so appreciative of their union badgering this company into filing for bankruptcy so all 30,000 of them can lose their jobs. That's just great.
And this is what I've been dreaming of, you know?
Yeah.
You fight so hard, and the company's like, well, you know what? We're done. That's it. You can get your raise at the company that no longer exists.
Hopefully someone else is going to hire you for more money. And by the way, here's where the market comes into play. It's, well, hopefully someone else is going to hire you for more money. Well, in a market, if there is someone that is going to hire you for more money,
now they don't have to.
That trucker should have already gone to the company that was going to hire them for more money.
Yeah.
All right? That's what the market would dictate.
They're all going to be applying to Taylor Swift's
company
now.
They'll get paid pretty well, you know. She
gave them all like $200,000 bonuses.
Did she?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
How about that? She must have saw our meme that we put out there a few years ago. Long time ago. Company officials place much of the blame on the union, saying its members caused irreparable harm by halting its restructuring plan. Yellow employed about 23,000 union employees. A quote from them says, "We face 9 months of union intransigence, bullying, and deliberately destructive tactics. The Teamsters Union was able to halt our business plan, literally driving our company out of business despite every effort to work with them." So what happened was they were in a bunch of debt. they got this pandemic loan, and they wanted to restructure their company. Now, when people restructure their company, they need to fire people. They need to make things more efficient. They need to decrease people's hours, or they need to increase the amount of things that are in the trucks that are driving around. And if there is a union, they place all kinds of barriers in your way to firing people and decreasing people's hours and maybe not paying them the same or the same benefits or whatever. And so they weren't able to restructure to keep the company going. The Teamsters Union said in a statement last week that Yellow has historically proven that it could not manage itself despite billions of dollars in worker concessions and hundreds of millions in bailout funding from the federal government. Anyway, the moral of the story is here, aren't unions amazing?
Mm-hmm.
They're just out there.
And the government.
And the government.
Isn't the government? In December 2020, Stephen
Mnuchin
was the Secretary of Treasury then. He defended the loan, arguing that had the company been shuttered, thousands of jobs would have been at risk, and the military supply chain could have been disrupted. We don't want to disrupt the military supply chain. He also predicted that the federal government would eventually turn a profit from the deal.
So good at businessing. Now, I forgot about the Trump part.
Best at it.
Federal watchdogs and congressional oversight committees have scrutinized the company's relationships with the Trump administration. Donald J. Trump tapped Mr. Hawkins, that's who was running Yellow, to serve on a coronavirus economic task force. And Yellow had financial backing from Apollo Global Management, a private equity firm with close ties to Trump administration officials. Democrats on the House Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis wrote in a report last year that top Trump administration officials had awarded Yellow the money over the objections of career officials at the Defense Department. The report noted that Yellow had been in close touch with the Trump administration officials throughout the loan process and had discussed how the company employed Teamsters as its drivers. And so, yes, I did mention the corruption because I believe that this Mr. Hawkins, who eventually ended up being on the coronavirus economic task force, was also working out the $700 million pandemic crisis loan to keep Yellow going at a time that Yellow was looking at going bankrupt anyway. Of course, the lockdowns did not help with that, but they had an excuse to give them money. That's the government spending your hard-earned money, taking 30% equity stake in a company that was already failing, and then a union preventing that company from doing the things that it needed to do to keep going, and the two of them working together to waste your tax money and to put their own union members out of work. So, great. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about a letter that a child allegedly wrote to Joe Biden because it's hilarious. Some of his America First plan. Clip from Mehdi Hasan on MSNBC. Carrie Lake, Michael Beschloss. This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on Free Talk Live. If you like what you're hearing, then go to BernieLies.com to listen to us every single day of the week when you want to.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hard-working people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
USA Saturday news update. Police in Alabama are releasing details since video of a Saturday boat dock brawl went viral. Montgomery Police Chief Daryl Albert says the video showed the black co-captain of a riverboat being attacked by a group of white men after police say the black man had asked the group to move their boat from a reserved space.
A confrontation ensued between the co-captain being attacked by several members of the private boat.
Albert said they detained and interviewed over 10 people while investigating the incident. The cousin of the Uvalde, Texas school shooter is under arrest now for allegedly making terroristic threats. Family members reported Nathan Cruz to local authorities after he began talking about his desire to carry out a similar mass shooting. San Antonio Police Sergeant Washington Moscoso says
this family did the right thing. Made the right choice, called police.
A copy of the arrest warrant says Cruz was drunk at the time. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
What's up, y'all? This is Liberty at Night with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network, coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. Let's talk about a letter to Joe Biden.
I love it when kids write letters to President Biden.
Because kids know a lot.
Yeah. Very, very knowledgeable kids. And Biden says, Brindley, it's my job to build a better future for you and your classmates. Biden, your number one job is to stay alive. Okay. Number two, stop breaking the law.
Yeah.
A-hole.
Number three, maybe you should start with your own kids.
You sign constitutional laws that are passed.
Can we trust?
By elected representatives.
Can we trust a dad whose kids didn't turn out very well?
Can you trust a dad whose kids didn't turn out very well?
And I'm, look, a child can go rogue.
Yeah, I mean,
but
yes, it doesn't all
have
to
do with
your
upbringing.
There's a lot of influence. You know.
There's a lot of influence from...
I know.
Your upbringing.
Bo could have done better. You know, he should still be here.
Yeah.
I think that is Biden's fault.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Joe Biden, my name is Brindley, and I'm a fifth grader at a school that has been blurred out. My friend in Fresno, California. My class has
representatives.
We are writing to our reps about things we care about. I think that you have been doing a good job, and I wanted to say thank you. There are lots of things you have done that we appreciate. I like that you passed Ben the Respect for Marriage Act. This is a fifth grader. I like that you passed, Ben, the Respect for Marriage Act, because I know, what's that say?
People
who are gay. And I'm glad that you passed the Respect for Marriage Act, because I know people who are gay.
He knows people who are gay twice.
Perfectly worded. Mm. And I'm glad that they can get married, because they couldn't get married until he passed the Respect for Marriage Act. I also appreciate that you passed the child tax credit, because it helped me and my family during the pandemic when the U.S. government put my family out of work. No, she didn't say that part. Sorry. The child tax credit. Nobody is perfect, especially your son, Hunter. She didn't say that. And there are still things I wish you could do differently. For example, my class and I think it should be easier to get trampolines. However, overall, I think you are a pretty good president. I'm sorry.
The fact that they kept that part in, just like, it shows you this kid knows nothing. And I love kids.
Of course the kid knows nothing.
I love kids.
A kid.
I love kids. But you're doing a great job. I think you can do better. Like, you could get us trampolines. However, overall, you did a good job because somebody told me to say this first part.
Yeah. Now, I'm offended by this because trampolines are dangerous. Okay? Not just for kids. All right? They're very, very dangerous for people.
They can break your back.
They can break your back. One single jump. That's all it takes. Okay? Anyway,
what we need is more trampoline regulation.
We need yes, and then we can have trampolines for all.
That's what we need. It's not that Bryn Lee is.
No, that's. I was about to say the same thing.
She's probably a sweet kid.
That's not it. Like, you're a kid. You're expected to be dumb. That's fine. You're not dumb. You're ignorant.
Yes.
Okay. The kids are ignorant.
Yes.
Harry Sison is ignorant. All right. What's dumb are the people who take anything seriously whatsoever from kids, or that the president posts this as some kind of a win, like this fifth grader has any clue what they're talking about at all.
Or the adults that push this agenda on them, like, thank you for passing the Respect for Marriage Act because I know people who are gay.
Yeah. Do you think this fifth grader was really sitting there thinking about... No, they clearly weren't.
Like 10 or 11 years old?
Yeah, something like that.
10 or 11.
Like... First off, they weren't sitting there thinking about it, because if they did know someone who was gay, those people could already get married before the Respect for Marriage Act.
Yeah, and kids don't even care at that age.
No.
Yeah. And she's probably thinking about the Barbie movie, getting some new Barbies, and having some sleepovers with some friends.
All right.
Thinking about what Jessica said to Brittany and how it wasn't fair, you know?
Brittany.
And she stole her poster from her locker.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to badmouth her name to all the other kids in the school.
What she's thinking about are the trampolines.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Let's get to something a little more serious. We'll have a small, annoying economic conversation, and then we'll get back to other things that don't actually matter. Okay, don't worry. President Biden says that for decades, there's been a law that says when the federal government spends your tax dollars, they must be spent on American workers and products. But the vast majority of elected officials haven't seen that law through. Well, guess what? I'm insisting on it. This sounds great to a lot of people. This is like a bipartisan issue, I bet. You know, because if you're going to spend our money on stuff, like if you're going to steal our money under threat of death and buy solar panels, well, then you should take our money and spend it in our country. Right? That's the way you think. Unless it's going to Ukraine.
Yeah.
You know, that's
America and Ukraine.
That's fine, I guess. Not even our weapons are made in the U.S., you know, not all of them. So here's the problem. When they do take our money, if they're going to spend it, I personally would prefer that they get the best bang for my buck. So if they're going to take, let's say, $1 million collectively from our neighborhood and they're going to buy solar panels, I would rather them get 100,000 solar panels. That's not going to work out mathematically. I know that.
1,000.
1,000 solar panels than getting 200 solar panels. Because what matters are the products that you get back from that money and what value you're getting out of it. The solar panel usage doesn't get better because he spent more money on it. The actual return that you get from the solar panels doesn't get better because he spent more money on it. All that happens is there's some more money floating around in the U.S., but then the government's just going to take that. And that money's getting put towards American jobs that are getting paid too much money for things that we could get cheaper elsewhere. And those people should be putting their effort to more, I don't know, efficient uses.
More productive things.
Yes. You know, we're talking about allocating scarce resources here and getting resources in return. And if they are going to do this, I think that they should get the cheapest things possible so we get the most return for it instead of wasting that money.
Cheapest, best.
Yes.
Those two have to go hand in hand.
But they should do.
Yeah.
But that's not what they're going
to do. Because I can sell you a solar panel.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much?
There's no, doesn't collect any solar.
Okay.
Well, but I'll call it a solar
panel. Does it say solar panel?
It's cheap.
Can I write off like $300 on my tax returns?
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
That's why it has to be cheap and best.
Now, this like this America First thing, this whole, we see it with tariffs, anything having to do with trade.
I thought America First was a fascist thing that Donald Trump was ushering in as Hitler squared.
Well, I know that when Trump does it, it is.
Oh, but Biden.
Yeah, but when Biden does it, it's democracy? I don't know. Freedom?
Bidenomics.
You
can't argue with Bidenomics.
How can you?
Yeah.
We've all read the basic Bidenomics book.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get into some more fun things. What do we got next? Mehdi Hasan. Mehdi Hasan is on MSNBC. He's one of the most infuriating people out there because what he does for a living is gaslight people. He's a great debater, and he's one of those people that's great at sounding like he's making really good points, and he speaks with authority. You know, it sounds like he's correct when he does it. But Mehdi Hasan is responding to Tom Cotton. Charlie, what did Tom Cotton say?
Tom Cotton X's. Every time, so weird when you say it. Every time a Republican won the presidency this century, Democrats tried to stop the certification. Yet none of them face criminal charges over what is obviously First Amendment protected activity. Mehdi Hasan, quote, X is this X, and says, this man is a Harvard-educated lawyer, so he's not dumb. He knows exactly what he is saying and doing here. It's pure gaslighting.
So
when you tell the truth,
when you say that Democrats have tried to stop the certification for different reasons. Now, not all of them uniformly trying to stop the certification.
It wasn't all Republicans uniformly trying to stop the certification.
That doesn't matter.
Trump's own vice president was like, no, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. That's literally the only reason.
Mr. President, sir, not going to do that.
That's the only reason that we stopped fascism in America is because one man,
Mike Pence,
went up there and hit the gavel,
yeah.
Whatever it is that he does when they do that. So it's actually Mehdi Hasan who's gaslighting you right now. And he's accusing Tom Cotton of gaslighting people by telling the truth. And then he's gaslighting you by accusing them of gaslighting. I know that we just made the point perfectly, but I would like to point out here a video that we've played in the past. And we'll listen to a minute or two of it, of Democrats in the past, not just in 2017, but in 2005 and in 2013, not in 2015, all trying to say that the elections were stolen or whatever they were. We've played this in the past on the show before. But here's the gaslighting that Mehdi Hasan is talking about.
I object to the certificate from the state of Georgia on the grounds that the electoral vote...
I object to the certificate from the state of North Carolina based on violations...
2017.
Because people are horrified.
2017.
I object. I've objected to the counting of the electoral votes...
2005.
...of the state of Ohio.
I object to the certificate from the state of Alabama. The electors were not lawfully certified.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina because of the massive voter suppression.
I have an objection to the electoral votes.
2001.
The objection is in writing, and I don't care that it is not signed by a member of the Senate.
I do not wish to debate. I wish to ask, is there one United States senator who will join me in this?
letter. If Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it. It's clear. It's clear.
There are still legitimate concerns over the integrity of our elections.
I agree with tens of millions of Americans who are very worried that when they cast the ballot on an electronic voting machine, that there is no paper trail to record that vote.
How can you win with Russian interference?
That's the real thing.
That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He is an illegitimate president in my mind.
Could you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election, and he was put in office because the Russians interfered.
One thing that Trump is fearful of when it comes to his being president is that finally we will see how illegitimate his victory actually was.
Why do you think the president is going to such great lengths to essentially prove that he beat you?
Because he knows he didn't. He knows he's an illegitimate president.
We actually won the last presidential election, folks. They stole the last presidential election.
And Al Gore won that election. I think he won anyway.
I must object because of the overwhelming evidence of official misconduct.
After the election, when you stole the election, you came back here and said, get over it. No, we're not going to get over it.
You know it. I know it. They know it. We won that election.
Right to vote has been stolen from qualified voters.
In 2004, the democratic process was thwarted.
The 2004 presidential election in Ohio was riddled with unnecessary problems.
Some machines malfunctioned, causing votes to be counted more than once or not at all.
Based upon an inordinate number of ballots.
Okay.
There's a whole video of that.
There's a lot of evidence of this happening. In fact, in the last election, one of the things that people are upset, one of the things in the indictment actually has to do with this elector scheme that Trump was working on to have these alternate electors. And of course, as it says in the Constitution, Charlie, the electors, you know, the Electoral College, they have to go vote for the person that won, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
They're supposed to? Maybe?
Kind of.
It depends on whether or not your state has a law saying that they must do it, because actually it doesn't say that they have to. I think that this has been changed in the last couple of years, or in the last year or so. But this happened.
Well, because each state can make their own election laws.
Mm-hmm. And this happened right after the election, before Trump was certified in January of 2016. These are famous peoples.
Republican members of the Electoral College, this message is for you. As you know, our founding fathers built the Electoral College to safeguard the American people from the dangers of a demagogue and to ensure that the presidency only goes to someone who is to an eminent degree endowed with the requisite qualifications.
An eminent degree. Someone who is highly qualified for the job.
The Electoral College was created.
You think they read all the Federalist Papers?
I was thinking that too. Isn't it so weird that they're quoting the Federalist Papers?
Yeah. They'll go back to the original meaning when it suits them.
President,
there are 538 members of the Electoral College. You
and just 36 other conscientious Republican electors can make a difference
by voting your conscience on December 19th
and thereby shaping the future of our nation.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
I'm not asking you to vote for Hillary Clinton.
As you know, the Constitution gives electors the right to vote for any eligible person.
Any eligible person, no matter which party they belong to.
But it should certainly be someone you consider especially competent.
Especially competent to serve as President of the United States of America.
What? This is the most important part of the video, I think. We have to stop this. I'm not even going to say it if you're watching a live video right now, but this has to stop. It's not okay. All right. It doesn't look good.
No.
No one likes it.
It's a lot of syringes.
This must stop. Oh, man. Okay. I especially love these videos. They're so moving when you can clearly tell that they've given each one of these people the exact same script to read. All right. And what they do is they splice together different parts of each actor reading the exact same words from the script, which is why it goes together so well.
It's moving.
But each one of them gets to act like they're saying something that they deeply and truly cared about, which is a script that's been written for all of them, because they're actors, okay, and they're all reading and looking into a camera. But anyway, Mehdi Hasan says that Tom Cotton is just gaslighting. Mm-hmm. That's the most important part here.
The gaslighter says that someone else is gaslighting.
How about that? Hmm. But what about the other side of the equation? Because it's not just Democrats that are crazy in this scenario. There's also Republicans that are crazy in this scenario. In this case, Carrie Lake, who was a gubernatorial candidate in Arizona. So I guess we go back to the videos here. She's got a way to solve this crisis that we're going through right now.
This is a guy who's already won. He won in 2016. He won even bigger in 2020.
Talking about Trump, by the way.
All that January 6th was a staged riot to cover up the fact that they certified a fraudulent election. And I agree with a lot of what Cash said about impeachment. If we just go back and deal with this fraudulent election and what happened in 2020, we don't have to impeach him, because he really isn't, in my opinion, and many others, and you look at the evidence, the true president. We just can, why don't we decertify 2020? And that's the way we deal. This is
okay. She wants to decertify 2020 and reinstall Trump as the rightful president to his throne. Rightful throne. Exactly.
Yeah.
When it comes to the election thing, I am entirely open to the idea that elections can be stolen. Entirely open to it.
I'm entirely open that it could be fraud.
But I have been shown no conclusive evidence. Not that there isn't any that exists, because you have to find the evidence. I don't have access to that stuff, but all the stuff that people have brought up has not been proof of a stolen election. And anything that they have found was not enough to change the outcome of the election either. And so I'm entirely open to the possibility that it happened. I'm sure that there was way more funny business than what we even know about. But there's a difference in having that point of view, which in my opinion clearly is the correct one, and going out there and talking as if it is truth. It is written. This is the case, even though you've got no conclusive evidence to prove it. You can't show how many of the votes were fraudulent or what the outcome would have been otherwise.
Plus, how do you have time to count 160 million votes?
Yeah.
By hand yourself.
Takes a long time.
You know.
Not done yet. You know, lost count, have the restart. You should write it down. You know, right. Try and keep counting your head.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Be a lot.
All right. So we wanted to show something from the other side of the aisle there. That's Carrie Lake. Michael Beschloss, who is an author and a historian, I guess, apparently, whatever, a pretty bad one at that. Let's listen to him talking about these newest indictments. And January 6th, by the way, the indictments themselves, like, they're not tied to anything with January 6th, technically, in the indictments. There's not, like, an indictment or anything.
I think the last 12 hours fit perfectly into the American story, and that is this. From time to time, America faces threats from monsters who want to destroy our democracy. That happened in 1861 with the Confederacy. Abraham Lincoln and, you know, Northern soldiers and Northern voters came to our rescue, saved the Union. The same thing happened in 1933. Almost at the last minute, Franklin Roosevelt came to power, saved our economic system. Pearl Harbor, 1941. We were bombed. Our system was very much in danger. Our democracy, many people were getting it up and saying that, you know, the democracy had seen its last days. Franklin Roosevelt helped to put a coalition together at the last minute to save democracy and freedom around the world. 9/11, 2001, Osama bin Laden and other terrorists hated our democracy, tried to destroy it. You see where I'm going. What we see in this indictment is that on January 6, 2021, Donald Trump, just like those other threats to American democracy, tried to destroy our system, to take away our rule of law, came very close to doing it, to take away our system of elections, to take away our tradition of peaceful transfer of power to a new elected president. It almost...
He wasn't going to give Bush credit for at the last minute?
saving
our democracy after the terrorist attack of 9/11?
No, I don't think we did that.
Hmm.
No, I did want to echo this point. When it comes to the Confederacy, he talked about the Confederacy as this thing that rose up and tried to overtake the country, but luckily the North came in and stopped them.
At the last minute. The
councilman in here said, I don't like the Confederacy. I'm not a racist.
All right. You would I say get it. A racist would say
I get
that.
It. Yeah. But no, they actually tried to leave. They tried to secede from the country. They didn't try to go up into the North and overtake everything until they tried to secede and the North wouldn't let them. And then there's a war and then they're fighting a war. Okay. So a little bit of mischaracterization there, in my opinion.
Right.
We're trying to leave a democracy is trying to destroy that person's democracy. Like if I try to leave your house today, I'm trying to destroy your house, you know?
The right thing to do would be to keep you here.
Oh, sorry. Copper, I just saw the C and I assumed that it was Councilman, my bad.
But if I try to keep you here, that's going to save my house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. That's how you save it.
If you try to leave our friendship and I coerce you into staying friends with me, that's what saves democracy.
Okay. Anyway, we got that point from Michael Beschloss. More of these comparisons, when you take Pearl Harbor and 9/11 and then January 6th, where one unarmed person was killed by Capitol Police, Ashley Babbitt was killed, and then there's a few other people that are questionable, okay? You got the officer who died like the next day or something from a stroke or whatever it was. And the common number I see is either 4 or 5, and it's weird. I'll just say it's weird. You got one person who was straight up killed that day through violence, and it was one of the protesters, as opposed to, say, 3,000 people who died on 9/11.
And about 3,000 people who died at Pearl
Harbor. 3,000 for Pearl Harbor, but January 6th clearly belongs in that same category.
Well, when all those things are trying to destroy democracy, Nate.
Yeah.
That's the thing we have to hold together, democracy.
It's the most important
thing. But it's their version of democracy. Remember in Congress, they were upset because one Democratic senator wouldn't vote with the other Democrats. And then therefore, that wasn't democracy.
No.
You know?
That was one person.
One person deciding everything.
Coming up on Liberty at Night with Nate and Chuck, we're going to talk about all the stuff that's happened over the last several years and how you have been gaslit.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body, Brain, and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.